Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. I really hope you guys are having a great holiday season. I can hardly believe it's coming on so fast that this year is coming to an end. We've got another week and a half or so before the Christmas day emerges. Do you have your shopping done? Are you planning a big family gathering? Are you going to do some cooking? Oh boy, there's a lot on everybody's mind. And, you know, I wanted to talk today about the holiday portal. What is the holiday portal, you ask? Well, the holiday portal is an opportunity for us to look at something deeper. The holiday season. If you read blog posts, if you read the news, if you watch the news, it's like everybody's talking about the stresses of the holidays and get that present and don't get this one and go here, go there, buy this, don't buy that. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I think there's an opportunity for us to look at something really big. So here we are, the end of the year. It's a busy and stressful time. You know, rhetoric spikes as people defend their preferred holiday greetings and salutations, don't they? I'm only going to say Merry Christmas. I'll only say Happy Holidays. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm only going to boycott red cups at the coffee store. I mean, come on. It's a time when multiple religions, many traditions, multiple paths all cross, right? It's a juncture. And I'd like to look at this intersection as a chance to explore a deeper truth. You see, all of our preferences bubble to the surface during this time, don't they? Our preferences make us a little bit more defensive, even competitive, right? We're sensitive to certain things. Some people are really offended that a Christmas tree is taken off a coffee cup. Why? What is that all about? You know, whether we're celebrating Christmas or Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, if we are looking at the Islamic New Year or celebrating a prophet's birthday or looking at the equinox, we all kind of feel as though we have some sort of special right or status, don't we? I mean, deep down, we all want our team to win, right? If you're celebrating Christmas, you want the Christmas team to win. You want your relics displayed in the civic hall. You don't want yours taken out of the community parade, do you? You see, as Americans, Christmas is by far the most commercial successful story that there is, and it's tied to many of our country's traditions. But let's remember that Jesus wasn't born in December. You know, most holidays, if you're not aware, are kind of a conservative or competitive cover-up for pagan celebrations of the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. So if any of us rely too heavily on our history as a basis for our preferences, eventually, we're going to be disappointed by our findings. Now, what can we learn if we pull back and put on a wide-angle lens when we look at this? And that's what we're going to do today, so bear with me as it seems like we go down a rabbit trail. We're not. You see, we need to recognize that the winter is a sort of death. And we have a tremendous dependence upon the sun for its warmth and provision. I mean, no sun, no life. It's game over for any of us. Coldness is cozy, but only so when it's shared with those we love. Right? Coldness is not cozy if you're alone on a city street. Is it? The cold and the dark of winter, they help us to appreciate our interdependence. You know, gathering together allows us to regroup after a hard year. We have one eye looking back at the loss of the year and one eye toward the optimism of a new life emerging in the coming year. That's the juxtaposition of this time of the year. And it does revolve around the shortest day of the year and the longest day of the year, which ironically is opposite if you live on the opposite side of the world or if you live at the equator, it's less so. But where we live and where most of religions emerged, this is the case. We all are part of a larger rhythm. This is not just to, I'm not taking religious ideas and traditions and just bubbling down to nothing here. I'm actually trying to pull out of something important that's within all of them. You see, this rhythm of expansion and contraction is that we scatter and we gather. And that's something we need to look at a little bit closer. You see, we love our families and our close friends. The end of the year allows us to form a social perspective, you know, to kind of prioritize our reconnections with each other. In this sense, holidays are the excuse or the basis to gather. Our traditions connect us to a lineage or a history of gathering or scattering. You see, all of our ancestors were refugees in search of a better life, too. I don't think any of us can go far, very far back before that becomes the case. They all scattered. They all gathered. Is it any wonder that every faith system and tradition shares this vital aspect? I mean, think about it. It's how people groups, religions, corporations, tribes, it's how they breathe. You see, as groups of people are together, they create a living organism. And it breathes. Inspiration and expiration are the process of breathing. Gathering and scattering is how organizations breathe. We all follow this pattern of the cosmos. I like to call it the creation. You see, in all of the world, the cosmos, the creation, every atom is expanding and contracting. Every cell is expanding and contracting. Every plant, every insect, every animal, every river, every ocean, all the mountains, our atmosphere, our planet, our solar system, every star. You see, I told you that you needed a wide-angle lens. It's interesting, though. Here we are now talking about this very broad spectrum that encompasses every atom of the universe, and I pulled that out of a holiday tradition. And I think that's because it's the same energy flow. You see, all this energy surfaces during the holiday season. There's part of it that's maybe creaturely, where we're responding to the short days, the cold weather. There's part of this that's culturally ingrained because of our history and our country, our traditions. There's part of this that's religiously ingrained because of our faith systems and everything else. You see, it's multidimensional, this energy, this expanding and this contracting. Now let's go one click further. You see, light is a brilliant expression of this energy, isn't it? This is the juncture where science and faith converge. I mean, think about it. An immeasurable amount of power that can never be diminished, that takes countless forms, that makes us, that powers us, that helps us, and will never leave us. Now, if you're a scientist, you think I'm talking about energy. If you are a person of faith, you think I'm talking about God. If we're able to see this, then we need not only thank science, we need to thank every system of faith as well, because we have the light to see. Intelligence, consciousness, light, it's all the same thing. Get it? Think of it this way. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. It is the gradual increase of light during the darkest time of the year. Yeah, it has history. It's the Maccabees, this rebellious kind of group who, you know, did their thing. But think of this perspective of the lights. And the word of the Lord will be to them line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, as it says in Isaiah 28:13. Right? This gradual increase of light. So Hanukkah is shining a light. It's pronouncing an energy that benefits all humanity. When it comes to Hanukkah, what will this light illuminate for you? Now, I know with ISIS and everything in the forefront, Islam has been seen in a very negative light. And certainly this is not an excuse for any of the extremists that are out there. But in Islam, there is the An-Nur. And what that means is it's a saying that says God is the light of the heavens and the earth. He's the one who is seen and makes other things seen as well. So what would that light illuminate for you? You see what I'm saying? It's like, what types of things will be made seen? Without the light, you can't tell if you're going to stub your toe in the dark. And if the light comes on, you can see that thing to which you would stub your toe. It makes that thing visible. So when something becomes visible to you, or you become conscious of it, you are getting the light. What would that light illuminate for you? You see, Christmas is a time when it says, those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's in Isaiah 9, chapter 2 and verse 6. Chapter 9, I'm sorry, in verses 2 and 6. You know, in John chapter 9 and verse 5, it says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. That's Jesus talking. And so when we talk about holidays, each unique perspective is tapping into something profound and profoundly the same. What is that light? It's not just energy. I'm sorry, scientists. It is true that this energy is an energy. It's measurable. It's palpable. It's all those empirical things. And it's so much more. It's not just a nebulous force that exists without a cause. It's an uncaused cause, right? But it has a name. And it's called Wonderful, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. How can that be possible? You see, folks, the real conversation here is all about our connection to the light, not the light distribution system. You know, when you pay your electric bill, it's not that you want the electricity. Electricity is the means to get the things you want, that makes your light bulb turn on in your house. The reason you want electricity is so that your lights work. It's so that your oven works. It's so that your heater works. Paying homage to electricity kind of misses the point. So it's not about our light distribution system. It's about our connection to the light. And if our thinking is darkened by pride or competition, and having more or being more than the others, then I'm sorry to say that we're bearing very little light. The light takes us beyond our teams. The light takes us beyond our traditions. It doesn't eradicate them. We celebrate our traditions. We celebrate our teams, but it takes us beyond them too. It takes us beyond our categories, our zip codes, our W-2s. The light brings unity and diversity together. It doesn't create unity by getting rid of diversity. It brings unity and diversity together into something more than the sum of its parts. Light then illuminates. It shows us a collective. It shows us a group of people. Higher consciousness allows you to see people in a different state. So those who are light bearers are those who bring a fire that both illuminates and warms the cold and dark places, not only in our own consciousness, but in all aspects of our hurting world. See, those who share this mission, they share in something far bigger than any holiday tradition. They're gathering a scattered world. Those defined by such light, those defined by such energy, are those who are called out from the dark. We're told that the called out ones, there's a Greek word for that called ekkaleo, and we get our word ekklesia from it. The called out ones is another name for the church. Which is interesting because, you know, this season, if you think about it, I really want to encourage you to pay very close attention to that little thing that's inside you that deeply yearns for connection. When you're thinking about that dinner party, you're thinking about that Christmas gift, when you think about that person coming home or yourself going home, what is it that's behind it? It's not just the holiday tradition. It's not just the food that grandma makes. It's not just that. It's your longing for connection. It's your longing to be a part of a collective. It's a rhythm of gathering because you know before long you'll be scattering again. You see, you're longing for unity. You're longing for joy. And the holiday season is your opportunity to reconnect to it if you can look at it through that portal. If you can see it, then you possess some illumination. And if you have that kind of illumination, use it to light your sphere of influence. The world is waiting for you. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.